Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. That's how I feel after watching the RNC at work. The men in the butterfly nets. I've never seen anything quite like this. Yes, I'm going to vote for Romney. Why? He's a disaster and a terrible candidate, but as an alternative to the communist crooks in the White House now, I'll take Romney. I mean, I have to take what I can get. If you've only got white bread and the other choice is sawdust, you eat the white bread. It's that simple. But nevertheless, I am going to parody the Republicans again today and tomorrow because there's nowhere else for me to go. Why was everyone excited about Chris Christie's speech? Did he say anything about any of the social issues facing America? No. Did he talk about the illegal immigration problem? Did he talk about our soldiers getting shot in the face and the back by the Afghanis? No. Did he talk about the debt being out of control? No. I mean, I could go down the list of 20 things that he didn't talk about. It was, again, about him and character. So what? I've heard this before. This is not an S training session. This is supposed to be an introduce the party to the people. And what they're doing is they're playing the game of, we're nice guys, don't be afraid of us. Well, I'm sorry, but I got to tell you that by not seeing one conservative speaker on the stage, it left me limp. Who should have spoken at the GOP yesterday, today or tomorrow? Shall I give you a list? Rick Perry, Dick Cheney, Representative Alan West, Governor Jan Brewer, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, Senator Jim Inhofe, Representative John Culberson, Donald Trump, Rush Limbaugh, Michael Savage, none of us were invited to the convention. Look, I am the most hated man in the media. I admit that, which puts me in a unique position to tell you exactly what I think. I'm not out here to pander to anybody, and I am a conservative. I don't see any conservative elements in the Republican Party, whatever. I thought John Boehner's drunken speech was enough to have him thrown out of the party. I mean, the man was a lush. He was on the floor doing a lush speech. I could not believe John Boehner's speech, that they would let this man get away with it. Now, if you think I'm being harsh on the Republicans, I am. But I'm going to be worse next week on the Democrats because they're leading their Democrat National Committee parlor game with 2 hours of Muslim prayer. You heard me. 2 hours of imams, some of the most radical imams in America, calling for Sharia law, are going to open up the Democrat convention. So what choice do we have? We have to vote for these Republicans. Anywho, here we go. Oh, by the way, does anybody out there have a picture of Michael Savage having dinner with Mitt Romney from 2 years ago? We can't find it. I have it on a chip somewhere, but I want to post it to embarrass him on my website. So anybody who can find a digital download of Michael Savage having an intimate dinner with Mitt Romney in the North Beach restaurant, December 2010, I believe it was. I posted it on michaelsavage.com, but we've lost it. He came to dinner with me, had dinner with me, and then would never come on the show again. But I'm not the only one. Where was Rick Perry on the stage? Instead, they had that thing, the sweater man who ripped Romney to shreds during the primaries. Newt Gingrich is going to speak tonight after having destroyed Mitt Romney, tore out his legs and his lungs. I could not believe this. Okay, so if you have that picture, I'll send you a free book if you want to call me at 1-800-449-8255. Oh, tonight we're going to have a senator who I've affectionately named the Gobbler. Listen to the sound that we have for the Gobbler when he comes on tonight. No, that is not Senator Mitch McConnell. That's an actual turkey sound. I don't understand how I could sit through another two nights of this. This is astounding to me. I got an email from a woman who says, I'm a mainstream Republican. I will vote for Romney. She said, I've been a Republican all my life. I'm not even a conservative. She said, but I went to an old age home. My dad is 90 years old in an old age home, and I went last night and watched him play bingo. She said, I found it more interesting than the RNC convention, watching 90-year-olds play bingo in an old age home. I couldn't believe this. I'm not the only one seeing this. My jaw is hanging open. So do you think it's wrong of me to parody the Republicans, or would you like me to become another a party apparatchik, another Hannity, as it were?
Oh, them Republicans. Why, you got to hand it to that. Oh, yeah. They stand for the free market.
Now, as you well know, the wealthy in the West are now being targeted by the communists. As you well know, there's a war now against the successful, as I've pointed out over and over again. The British are now recommending an emergency tax on the rich. As part of the global push to tax the rich, Britain is now debating an emergency wealth tax. They're going to use the politics of envy, the communists. In this case, Britain's Deputy Prime Minister Nick Clegg, a gussied-up communist. He's a leader of the so-called Liberal Democrat Party, which is a front for the worldwide communist movement. He's proposed a one-time tax on the wealth of high-net-worth Britons, right? So the politics of envy now are spreading from America to Britain. And the fact of the matter is, the rich now pay more taxes than any other group. And in England, of all places, the top 10% of Britain pays much less than the top 10% in the United States of America. But it's exactly what's going on here in the United States of America, is the politics of envy. So if you look at some of the blog comments, they're very interesting, the taxing the rich. Let me read you one. What do all of these corporations have in common? Well, I'll tell you. Between 2008 and 2010, they paid no income tax at all. Why are you not hearing a word of this from the Romney camp or from the Obama camp? General Electric, PG&E, Corp, Computer Sciences, Ensource, CenterPoint Energy, Tenet Healthcare, Atmos Energy, Integris Energy Group, American Electric Power, Conway, Ryder Systems, Baxter International, Wisconsin Energy, Duke Energy, DuPont, Consolidated Edison, Verizon Communications, Interpublic, CMS Energy, Next Era Energy, Navistar International, Boeing, Wells Fargo, El Paso, Mattel, Honeywell International, DTE Energy, and Corning. I cannot confirm or deny that every company on that list did not pay an income tax, but it's pretty close to what I published in a previous article. From 2008 to 2010, they paid no income tax. Let's start with General Electric. How come they paid no income tax? Did you get the same relief? So why are we not hearing about this from the Republicans? Well, let's go down the list. Let's see what else other people are saying. Tax the rich 100% and they will go out of business. The middle class and the rich will become poor. The politicians will then be the only rich until everyone comes after them. To become a good Democrat, all you have to do is tax, spend, and race bait. Another one wrote this. Remember the good old days when the King of England would decide that he needed money and he then waddle off to Parliament, who would oblige him and vote for a rate collection? The sheriffs would fan out and collect from the peasants. The higher-ups would contribute some shekels, too, and the king would be happy. The budget would be balanced for a while, and then the cycle repeated. I think that England, being the good little obedient subjects they seem, would adhere to a call from the queen to cough up 10 or 15% of their saleable property. Sort of like when Mitt gets elected here. Queen Anne can go forth on Povich and Sally Jesse, and maybe even American Idol, make a plea for massive contributions to her husband's wealth fund, and the masses will pour forth their offerings. Well, that's how it works for the others anyway. Try it, England. You've been supporting the Queen for several hundred years. Put her to work for you. You get what I'm saying? So this is now starting. U.S. tax law is going to become much more draconian no matter who wins. And the fact of the matter is, Romney has said nothing about taxes during the campaign, nor of any of his speakers. And again, I want to ask you, am I the only one nauseated by the Republican convention? And if you missed Michael Savage's riff on John Boehner's allegedly drunken speech yesterday about throw him out of the bar, you're going to hear it very shortly right here on the Savage Nation. Let's begin in New York. Red, Red on WOR. Red, do you like the RNC convention?
Oh, you know, I was so upset yesterday. You know, I'm an independent. Usually, I'm in the middle of. But I was so upset. You know, I was listening to Christie. Unbelievable. That speech was nothing but nothing.
Yeah. And what about the Democrats? You like the socialism that you're going to hear next week? Tax the rich?
No. I don't like the Democrats. No, I don't like that.
All right. I just didn't know because I'm going to get a lot of Democrat callers, okay? It's the worst convention I've ever seen in my life. It's the worst. I've never seen anything like it. A disaster. A disaster. It's a disaster. You know, the longer I watch the Republican Party at work, who has effectively, they have effectively nullified the Tea Party. They have destroyed the conservative movement and the Tea Party. Boehner says that he likes Obama and Ted Kennedy, who did some good things for America. It's starting to look like Michael Savage was not wrong when he said there's almost no difference between the two parties. You choose it, Democrat or Republican. It's almost like the Queen of England. I mean, who is the figurehead? Because it seems to me there's almost no difference right now. It's frightening for me to have to say this to you. I still don't know what Romney stands for. I've not heard him say a word about borders, language, culture. I've heard him say nothing about taxes, the war in Afghanistan. I can go down the list of problems that I think are very important to us. Not one word has come out of anybody on the podium in Tampa. So when I come back, you'll hear my response to yesterday's Scotch speech with the dustbuster in the background right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Is Boehner speaking right now? Let's hear some of his inspirational Scotch talk.
Illustrate. You know, I'm what you call a regular guy with a big job. Ugh. I've got 11 brothers and sisters and my dad.
Oh, we heard it already. We know you were poor.
I worked there growing up, mopping floors, waiting tables.
Oh, we heard it already. So what? So you're not mopping floors now.
I learned how to deal with every character who walked in the door. So let's say right now some guy walked into our bar full of guys looking for work.
See, not one word about the problems America's facing. The drunk is just rambling on about nothing.
Well, you know what we do? That's right. We throw him out. Think about this. A guy walked into our bar full of people paying more for health care, paying more for gas, paying more for everything. And this guy would say, well, we're better off than what we would have been. Well, you know what we'd do. We'd throw them out.
They don't even understand the joke.
Now,
that was a punchline.
Now, walked into our bar full of folks who couldn't tell you the last time they got a
Someone
raise.
Told them, go with something you know, John. Let's see, bars. You're good on bars and drinks. All right, let's use bars. All right, John, here's the speech. It's about a bar you own.
We throw them out.
Let's work with the bar theme. Okay, guys, listen, write something for him about bars. He can handle that. All right, John, you're in a big bar now. Talk about what it'd be like. Go ahead, John. You're on.
This guy ran a small business, got involved in it while he was in school. Then, out of nowhere, his business partner died. They had just one customer. So he fought like hell through sleepless nights and close calls. And thank God. Paid their dues, proud of what they've managed to do. Mm-hmm. Now, the guy walked into a bar and heard that story, and he said, well, if you've got a business, you didn't build that. Well, you know what we do with him, don't you? We'd throw him out.
See, keep the bar theme going. See, it's got a certain rhythm to it.
By the way, that's
whatever you do, talk about the bar. Now, Hurricane, the hurricane's about to come in and hit New Orleans. You know what we'd do if we were God and he was coming into our bar? We'd say to the hurricane, throw him out. Throw that hurricane out.
Anyone who's built something from nothing. No guarantees.
You know, if I were alive when Hitler was invading Poland, well, you know what we would have done in our bar? We would have thrown him out.
He can't fix the economy because he doesn't know how it was built.
Now, let's say you own a bar and you feel a rumbling under your feet, and it's an earthquake under your feet in Pittsburgh. Well, what do you do? I'll tell you what you do. You get down on those floorboards and you yell through the floorboards, throw him out.
He doesn't get it. and electing a new president who does.
Yeah. Yeah. And I say, don't throw him out. Wait, do we throw him out or don't we? Let me check my cards. Are we throwing this one out or not? George oh, no, no, we're for him. No, we don't throw out the new president.
And he was fond of the old saying that when things are at their worst,
throw him out!
That's just the place and the time that the tide will turn. Well, delegates, this is that time, and this is that place.
Wow, this guy's a heck of an inspirational speaker. He's got a big future ahead of himself after his political career is over. Throw it out! All right, John, here's the thing, John. And look, John, this is the guys behind the doors, I'm imagining, who wrote the speech for him. They know he's not a good speech giver. He gets scared. He gets the flutters. You know, he's known to, like, hit the bottles. You know, all right, look, we got to do something he knows. What does he know? Let's talk about it. House, no. Being poor, well, we'll work it in. What theme? Bar. Okay. Write a bar theme. People coming in the bar. Any topic and whatever. And throw it out. Okay, got it. John, you got it? Yeah. Okay, now go up there. Go get it. So John Boehner gets up there. Now there's talk of global warming out there by the Democrats. Well, we don't look upon it that way. I say if the sun gets too close to the earth, just throw it out. Now they say that the undocumented American citizens coming in from Mexico, eating us out of house and home, are going to bankrupt us. I can't say throw them out because I was told not to. So I say bring them in. Bring in all those people from Mexico. That's the new Republican tent. Bring them in. Yeah, whatever the topic is now, John, remember, you got to say throw them out. But certain topics you can't say throw them out, John. For example, bailouts. Now, bailouts are bad. You know that's not the Republican way. I say if a business fails, why, let it fail. But no, you can't do that under Obama. Obama gives everybody money, and that, as you well know, is not the free market. I say there's only one way to approach a business that's failing, and that's throw it out!
Savage.
Well, we're sitting here with our yawning. I don't have my dustbuster with me today. I did clean out the filter yesterday during the speeches. How in the world can you have faith in a party that does not have any of the conservative leaders in the country at the convention? What do you think this party is going to do when they're reelected? Tell me what they're going to do. What are they going to do? I'd like to know what they're going to do on the immigration problem, the problem with the war in Afghanistan. I mean, go down the list again. I'm not going to do it. Are they going to do anything about these things? Why do you have such faith that they're going to change anything with regard to the NDAA, where the government now has the right, the military was given the right to arrest any American citizen? Did Romney say, or any of his minions say, that when I'm elected, we're going to immediately get rid of this executive order? No, I didn't hear that. Did he say we're going to end the chaos at the borders? We're going to stop using the military as a pawn. We're going to make certain that all those who benefited through phony contracts, such as those in the solar industry, will be arrested and their assets seized. We're going to look into senators and congresspeople whose spouses may have benefited while they were in power, and we're going to investigate them. Have you heard one word about any of this? Have they said they're going to tax General Electric at fair market value, or any other corporations who are not paying taxes? You haven't heard one word. So what is the point of the convention? Did you hear any speakers who inspired you? Can you remember one word said by one person today that you'll remember? Was Rick Perry there, Dick Cheney, Alan West, Jan Brewer, Joe Arpaio, Jim Inhofe, John Culberson, Donald Trump, Michael Savage, Rush Limbaugh? None of us were invited to Tampa. We'd probably be thrown out of the room if we came near them. Pennsylvania, Austin, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, you are killing me, man. I'm laughing so hard. I got tears streaming down my face. I almost crashed twice. People are staring at me like I got worms coming out of my head.
You now, wait a minute. Is that from the parody of John Boehner's speech about throw him out?
Throw him out, man. You got me dying laughing here. People are looking at me so funny.
You know what? You know, it's the only power we the people have left, which is to laugh at the politicians. The day it's illegal to laugh at the politicians is the day you've lost America. But not all of you see it that way. Scott in Sacramento is mad at me. Scott, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Good afternoon, Michael. I love you. I look forward to your day every day. You know, I drive around. I'm a commercial real estate broker. But you're killing me beating these guys up. I don't agree with everything they're doing there. But they have to have a convention. The other guys are having their convention.
I understand. I agree with you. But shouldn't they use this time when they're introducing themselves to America to distinguish themselves and show how they differ? Have they said one negative word about Obama? Have they told us about the crimes and misdemeanors that this man has committed? I haven't heard it.
No, but I think that's the fluff they do with these stupid things. I agree that it's a waste of time, probably, in a lot of ways. It's not needed anymore in our present system. But
that's
they,
right. Calling in the vote by internet, to me, it's a grotesque experience to watch any convention. But, you know, you'd expect this from the Democrats to put on a show, a nauseating show. But the Republicans are supposed to be different, aren't they? Why are they not addressing any of the problems that we're facing is my issue. That's all. Yakima, Hackama, Macama, and Dakama. Yakima, Washington. David, you're on the Savage Nation. You're another unhappy caller. Go ahead, please.
You just cracked me up. Yeah, it's Yakima. I'm with the other caller. I agree with you that it is nauseating, except that we need to energize all of these people that are on the fence. And, you know, the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans is that with Obama, there's no chance of anything that you've laid out is going to happen. With the Republicans, there's at least a possibility that it will be addressed.
I understand. Then why don't they even mention it? Why don't they mention one of the issues? No one's mentioning issues. It's all about, oh, we believe in ourselves. We're poor. We worked our way up. Well, Romney can't use that parable, you know. So what is he going to use, for God's sakes? It's getting me a little crazy. Clint Eastwood to speak at a Republican convention tomorrow, Thursday. Look, let me start with this. Clint Eastwood is an American icon. I'll watch any movie the man is in. I think he's fabulous. However, what he just did in his movie on J. Edgar Hoover was a disgrace. Either he's senile or he's working for the other team. I don't really respect Clint Eastwood after what he did to J. Edgar Hoover, the greatest FBI director in history. And I really don't think that we need an actor, whether he be a conservative or a liberal, telling us what we need to think. So personally, yeah, I'm glad he's coming. He is a true legend. He's one of the great all-time Hollywood actors and directors. I'll watch anything that he has his name on it, except J. Edgar, which was a disgrace. But the fact of the matter is, I have no idea why he's coming there other than to promote his new movie, which is coming out September 21st, 2012. So you figured it's a good shot. The Republicans are liable to win. He's hedging his bet. He's a very wise, smart man. And so therefore he figures he can't alienate half the country anymore after stabbing us with J. Edgar and a few other left-wing doozies, okay? So I'm not really looking forward to that. Good luck to him. Love him. Love his movies. But I'm not really thinking that Clint Eastwood's going to say very much. Now, there are other speeches that were given that we have to talk about. But before we do, if you missed the show, the Dustbuster thing, which better, guys, three or four? The Dustbuster or four with the dentist? Which is a better one? Let's go to three.
Well, at least I know I'm free.
It's going from bad to worse. I got to tell you, I was fixing my Dustbuster during the break, and it's running fine now. Clean as a whistle. And I say, get a Dustbuster. Fixed it up during John's speech. You hear how much better it sounds after that? I cleaned out the filter. They got a fat guy on the stage now at the RNC. The most unattractive man in the history of the world. He's at least 500 pounds. He looks like one of those shows on medical anomalies that have to cut a guy out of his apartment with a blowtorch. He's up on the stage now. Looks like the stool is going to break. Why did they pick him? They're supposed to be... An entertainer is supposed to be attractive. They're entertaining. It goes back to the Egyptian, to the campfire. An entertainer entertains. He enraptures you with his poetry, with his art, with his gestures, with his body movements. They get a tubby out of there, out of like medical freakdom. Where'd they get this guy from? It's going from bad to worse. I don't know who put this thing together. Notice there's not been one conservative statement, not one conservative speech. The guy looks like he's going to have an attack on the stage.
God bless.
God. Give me Kate Smith. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I feel more alienated from the political parties than I have ever felt in my life. Oh, here I'm back today looking at who's up there now. I guess no one's up there now. No one is speaking, but in the next hour, we have a real treat for you. We're going to have a videotape appearance by who? Ron Paul. We have some crazy music for that one. We're going to have the turkey sound effects for Senator Mitch the Gobbler McConnell. And if you haven't heard yet, you're in for a real treat in the next hour. The Republicans are actually going to have a video appearance by the former president, George W. Bush. I mean, what could be better? You know how many hours he must have had that recut in order to make certain he didn't make any mistakes? Notice he's not even at the convention because he was too conservative for the Communist Republican Party of today. Or shall I say the socialist-leaning Republican Party of today? Is that more apt? So you have a choice between middle-of-the-road socialists in the form of the Republicans and out-and-out Marxists in the form of the Democrats. America is gone. It's finished. Both parties look like they're part of the Politburo to me, and I'm a pretty keen social observer. It's frightening to see what's happened to the political establishment. Where is the Tea Party? Wouldn't you think at this point in the evolution of the American political landscape and what happened in the elections in 2010 when the Tea Party candidates right up until recently have won one election after another, wouldn't you think they should have had a Tea Party leader on the stage? They didn't, though. Why? Because they don't want you to think that they're doing anything wrong. So it's a choice between diet soda and diet soda. I myself prefer orange juice. I really don't like diet soda. I don't see any orange juice up there. That's my problem, to be frank with you. But I want to hear what you have to say. Not one mention of Obama and his crimes. Not one mention of any of the man's scandals. Why are they not bashing Obama? Why are they not saying that when we're elected, the criminality of Obama will be stopped? The contracts, the $900 million loans to friends, the rules for radicals that he's following, George Soros' connections will be severed. Not one word. Not one word about the issues that are most important to we Americans who know what really is going on. Now, I understand that many of you on the left and right criticize Michael Savage for being too extreme in my political sentiments. And that is because the truth seems to be extreme in the America of today. I do have a go-for-the-throat style. Many of you think that my tone is too strident. But the fact of the matter is I'm very successful. How do you explain that my books continue to sell? My radio audience is at a peak. I'm number two on the internet in radio, number two in the entire country of all people listened to on the internet. How do you explain it? Because my outrage is justified. That's why. The bad things being done to this country by Obama and, unfortunately, some of the Republicans, which are undermining our strength, both here and abroad, are not being talked about by the Republicans. And I don't mean to sit here every day and simply catalog the sins of the government. I actually try to be positive, and I wrote Trickle-Down Tyranny as a guide on how to fix our national crisis. For example, let me read you some words, one paragraph, one sentence, if you don't mind. I know you don't want to hear it, but here's what I wrote. Economies can be rebuilt, armies can be repopulated, but once a nation's pride is gone, it can almost never be restored. The loss of a nation's honor is something not even centuries can repair. Now, if I had been invited to that convention, that's what I would have said. I would have said that. And I would have said that Obama has destroyed America's honor, but when Mitt Romney is reelected, America's honor is going to be restored. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. That would have been enough for me. But they treat me like Jesse James. They despise me and all the other conservatives who have kept them in power, incidentally. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in very serious trouble when there's no alternative to the alternative. That's all I can say to you. If you want to say something, you're welcome to call me at 1-800-449-8255. That's the phone number. And I'll take your opinion on this. I think you should play clip four now on why, and I'll finalize yesterday's critiques with clip four. Play it now. Who is this goody two-shoes? This is like the bad librarian that you went up to for a book and she smiled at you and she said, "I'm sorry, we don't have it." This one. She's like the type of woman who's never gone out with a man. She'll be proud to say that at age 40, I've never dated.
My family,
who is this, babe?
The business we built, and my belief in America's unlimited potential.
Cher Venezuela?
But it starts with a wonderful story.
She's related to Cher, the left-wing actress?
After our son was born,
there is a woman up there with like a page boy haircut and big like forever. Clark Kent glasses.
We learned that our son
she's like the ad artistic. For a woman who would, like the 40-year-old virgin, the woman version.
With every fiber of our
you know, everyone up there is like a Republican stereotype, overweight, drunk. It's unbelievable to me. Every stereotype about Republicans has been played out on the stage today. I'm really shocked that they would do this. You know, but I'm not shocked. I know it. I know by how they've treated everyone in the conservative movement. I know how they've banished everyone in the Tea Party. I know how I've heard over and over again John Boehner is a compromised fool. I heard that from very, very high place people. They warned me, don't expect anything from Boehner. He's a complete and total compromised man. He's afraid of the Democrats. He'll do whatever they say. You know, it's beyond belief to see what they're doing here tonight. And next week, of course, you get to hear me doing the Democrat version of this, and I'm sure I'll have as much fun, but, you know, they're probably going to have their share of equally stupendous acts in the Democrat vaudeville. But the fact of the matter is, this was difficult. This was difficult. I feel like I'm coming out of a dental office right now, and the anesthesia is starting to wear off, and the jaw is just throbbing, and I can't wait to go over to the local Chinese restaurant and have a beer immediately, you know, to get the drugs back on. I mean, that's the problem is that I didn't come from the dentist and there are no drugs in my system. It's unbelievable. There's only one solution, is I have to run down to the boat and start pumping the bilge. Anything but this. Or fix my... Oh, boy. So where were the conservatives? Where was the head of a Tea Party? Where was Rick Perry? Where was Alan West? Where was Jan Bruner? Where was Sheriff Joe Arpaio? Where was Senator Jim Inhofe? Where was Rep. John Culberson? Where was Donald Trump? Where was Rush Limbaugh? Where was Michael Savage? Answer, in Siberia, in Republican Siberia. I'll be right back.
Savage.
How do you explain that the organizers of the RNC had the stupidity to invite Rick Santorum, who ripped Romney to shreds during the primaries? Listen to clip 18. This man is invited to speak last night after doing this to Romney. Listen to clip 18.
Here's the problem. The problem is that we have a candidate who's running, who is now seen by the media as the prohibited favorite, who is the worst possible person in this field to put up on this most fundamental issue of this campaign, and that is Governor Romney.
Okay, well, this is just lightweight compared to what he's done. Then you have Newt Gingrich and Callista tomorrow doing a duo. I don't know what Callista is doing there. I've never seen anyone who was more difficult to look at than Callista Gingrich. What is she doing there tomorrow night? You know, where are the conservatives? I don't understand how you don't see what I'm saying to you at the convention. No talk of any of the issues the American people care about. The runaway inflation, the debt problem, no speakers that speak to the issues that are pulsating with the heartbeat of America. No conservative speakers. I can name others who weren't invited. Maybe they'll get mad at me. I've named those who I think should have had some role in this conference. They keep the Republicans elected. Where's Matt Drudge? Why was Matt Drudge not invited? Whether he would have accepted or not is unknown. Matt Drudge is a cheerleader for Romney. Great website. I go to it 4 or 5 times a day, have for years. Why was Matt Drudge not invited to give a speech? Where was Jan Brewer, Alan West, Dick Cheney, Rick Perry, Limbaugh, Savage, Joe Arpaio, Jim Inhofe, Culberson, Trump? Where are these people? Why are the Republicans playing it so incredibly middle of the road? They're certainly not going to win any friends and influence people with this convention. To me, it's a wash. This is not giving Romney a boost. I'm sorry. You want to talk about this strategically? No boost. No bump. Nothing. It's a bump in the road. It'll break a wheel off the car. But that's my opinion. That's my opinion. I don't know what your opinion is. No, I don't know what your opinion is. Pittsburgh, PA, Claudia, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I agree with you to a certain extent,
But we've got to remember the enemy is Obama, not the Republicans. For goodness sake, stop attacking them and concentrate on that evil
man.
So
you think my job is to sit here like a good little boy and say how great...
No, I don't.
Wait, you think my job is to sit here and say how great a nun's speech is?
No, I don't. But I expect you to at least say the Republicans are in, they're for us and Obama is against us.
Are they for us? Are you sure they're for us?
Yes, I am.
How
I mean,
do you know?
To the other people, the choice...
Well, tell me, excuse me, stop for a minute. Tell me one thing you remember from the convention thus far by one speaker that gives you any confidence that the Republicans are for the working people of this country.
Well, let's see. I liked her speech. I thought it was rather good.
Who's her?
Mrs. Romney.
What did she say that inspired you?
That he will, when he gets to be president, that all these things that have been going on for years, he will put a stop to them.
What things? Did she mention any of the scandals of Obama? The loans to Solyndra, the loans to congressmen's brothers-in-law?
No, I grant you that, but my
why are they not? Wait, why are they not attacking Obama? Why are they not giving the American people examples of the crimes and misdemeanors of Obama? Why?
I wish I knew, but I know that we
can't. So therefore, that's my job. I'm a social critic and a commentator. You can't expect me to sit here and salute them when there's nothing to salute.
To be for them and against him.
No. I'm not a child. A child says I'm for them because they're against him. That's a child's game. I'm sorry. My job is to be an equal opportunity observer. And I will tell you, I have never seen a poorer campaign in my entire life. I know most of these campaigns are supposed to be parties. This is a disgrace.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
All right, welcome back. I mean, at the risk of your displeasure, here I am again with my jaw open, not believing what the Republicans just did. They had wounded veterans on the stage who had limbs destroyed in Iraq or Afghanistan with prosthetic legs. Terrible, right? They led the honor guard, the color guard. They had shorts on. You talk about exploiting the exploitation of troops. It was the most exploitive event I have ever seen. It's one thing to honor the troops who've lost limbs. Why are they wearing shorts to show you their legs? Why? There's no joke in what I'm saying. It's bad taste. And that goes to the whole criticism I have for this grotesque circus called the Republican National Convention. It is a disgraceful, tasteless event. Right now they have a Sikh gentleman speaking. I mean, I'll let that one go. But what is he doing there? Why are they exploiting the death of the Sikhs with this? I don't understand this. What does this have to do with the conservative values that we're all begging to hear something about? Look, I rest my case because I see most of you are what's known. You have to have read the book in the 50s that I read called The True Believers. You're true believers, those who are criticizing me, because you don't understand that healthy criticism is the only road to salvation. In a situation like this, without healthy criticism, we're living in the Soviet Union, the United Soviet States of America. What is sacred about the Republicans, I still don't know. I know some good Republicans, but none of them are invited to the convention. None. Tasteless. Horrible. That's all I want to say. 1-800-449-8255. If you disagree with me, I'm sorry. I hope you'll still continue to listen to the show. What topics would you like to have heard discussed by any candidate, any of the speakers to date? Incidentally, the national anthem is sung by Scott Walker's daughter. It was excellent. Can I be positive for a moment? That was excellent. She was a good-looking girl, and at least she sang it in English and didn't change the words to a rap beat. That was a plus. Right now, if you're not watching it on television, because only being run on C-SPAN, they're running a Ron Paul video. It's opening with a long road going down trees with sunlight streaming through. It looks like a road to a cemetery. Play the sound for the listeners.
Ron Paul.
Years
in Congress,
he's never voted for a tax increase.
Never voted for a debt ceiling increase. Never wavered.
What is this? Why is that? Why are they running a movie?
Cuckoo. The government ought to be for the protection of liberty, not for the intrusion in our private lives, not for the intrusion in economic.
And if only
affairs.
We get rid of Israel and stop them Jews from wagging the dog, we'd be better off, Ron, eh? It's them Zionists who did it.
We tax too much, we borrow too much. It's bankrupting this country.
It's them Zionist bankers, Ron. You know that.
I want to be a politician all my life. Matter of fact, I was surprised I ever won because this message I thought would not go well.
All right, we've had enough of him now. Great. So that's to get the Ron Paul crowd excited enough to go out and vote. Again, whatever you want to do. It's a big country. I don't expect you to agree with my view. Oh, my God. When is this going to be over? When? I'm sweating from head to toe watching these people. It's a parody of a bad parody. What would you like to hear them talk about? Can anyone tell me what you're not hearing that you'd like to hear? Can you identify with anyone who's appeared yet at the convention? Ralph in New York on WOR. Am I being too cynical and too negative? I got to ask you, is there something wrong with me? Do I need medication?
I would like you to look at Romney's face. When all of this pomp and circumstance is going on around him, he is completely overwhelmed. He's out of his element. He looks like he's constipated, pardon me. He has an oddball, detached look that's so strange and eerie, it shoots chills down my spine. You know, I'll tell you something. I don't identify with this message, the speaking in generalities. I want to take my country back. Michael, it means nothing. These cliches mean nothing. There's nothing
Thank
of substance
you.
Being said whatsoever.
No, Ralph, aren't you an actor, if I remember correctly? Are you the actor?
Yes.
Now, don't you think this is some of the worst acting you've ever seen in your life?
Well, you know, there's a thing to be said about a sense of theatrics about something like this, where you have to put it, you have to get the right people up there that can comport themselves on stage correctly and not... Like two-bit amateurs, and you know they don't have the sense of doing that. You know, there's a production team behind this, the same way there's a production team around a movie, and
yes.
They've done such a horrible job. It's laughable. I mean,
yeah, this
you know,
this is like
not
a this is like a bad it's like
around.
A bad high it's like a bad high school production as opposed to something professional. And I really don't have much faith in a team that frankly can't even run a convention. That's what's worrying me. I'm telling you, I'm going to vote for the guy because I fear another Obama term. Let me be clear, Ralph. But I am terrified that this group of incompetents cannot run the country.
You have every stereotype up there, the bleached blonde, the country singer. You have Ann Romney, who seems like Mitt's mother, not his wife, with this grade school syrupy sap that she's throwing at us.
Thank you. I'm sorry you're not allowed to say that. I did not go for her speech. I've not been a fan of Ann Romney's. I'm sick of it already with him hiding behind his wife's skirt. I don't like her saying he does his own laundry. I thought that was crazy.
We're going back to elementary school. I don't want to hear what they did under the apple tree in their hometown. I mean, this is
George, wait, I got it. George Washington chopped down the apple tree and said, "Father, I cannot lie."
She's very likable. I'll give her that. She's a warm person. She has no business making a speech there. You know,
I would rather see her as first lady than Michelle Obama, who's like Madame Defarge. Let's put it. See, on a personal level, although she stands for nothing other than getting her husband elected, she seems like a better pick than Madame Defarge, who's currently the first lady.
anyone's a better pick than she is.
Well, what do you think is going to happen next week, Ralph? Have you heard that the Democrats are leading the DNC with 2 hours of prayers by radical Muslim imams? Did you hear that one?
I did hear that. You know what's going to happen, frankly, and I'm just not from my, this is from my heart, this is what I truly feel. You know, you get a little bit of a bump from this, from your Midwesterners that are entertained by this sort of stuff and all that. But you know what it comes to, when it winds down to November, the man in the White House gets 4 more years because the Republicans are incompetent. They can't run anything correctly, and they apologize for everything. They can't say anything straight out. They can't tell you what you say on the radio every evening. They can't do that because there's a bunch of middle-of-the-road people out there. There's nobody out there from the grassroots movement.
No. Take a look. There's the gobblers up now for the third time. Mitch McConnell. Let's just listen. Let's listen
Instead
to Mitch.
Instead of raising them. That's why he's been missing in action on the greatest challenges of our day. What this administration has in mind for America isn't a renewal. It's a great leveling out. It wants the kind of government-imposed equality that in a single generation transformed Western Europe.
Hold it. He's getting there saying something.
Where for centuries, high achievement and discovery and innovation were celebrated.
We're getting
and
close.
Prized
Hold it now, everyone. A Republican's about to say something. Hold it.
About whether people should have to work, where they make promises they
no
can't
more
keep.
Sound effects. Cut it out.
And write checks they can't cash. But that's not who we are. It doesn't even occur to an American.
Okay, here's what he should have said. He should have used my line from last week. You know the difference between Obama supporters and Mitt Romney supporters? Mitt Romney supporters signed the check on the front, and Obama supporters signed the check on the back. Now, that would have brought the House down. They don't even have timing. There's no humor here. I don't understand this. I can't say certain things I would say if I were in a nightclub or on the internet right now for fear of offending various and sundry powers in the country or listening to the show. There are people listening to this show right now who've never listened to me, who don't even know who they're listening to. You're listening to the third largest radio show in America, The Savage Nation. I've been on since 1994. I've written one bestseller after another, and I'm going to vote for Romney, not because I think he's a great candidate. It's because he's the only possible alternative to the incompetent communist running the country. And if you doubt that what I'm saying has any merit to it, read Trickle Down Tyranny and get back to me when you see the facts. Let's go back to the gobbler.
He's resigned to whatever liberty the government decides to dish out. Now, I tell students all the time, the only way to fail in America is to quit. Ugh. And I truly believe that that's the case. And I know like
a
Mitt Romney.
A Meek & Morto auction would be more exciting. Look at this. No one's listening to him. This is shocking. Even the diehards have put the hats over their faces. Okay, I'll take a quick break and come back.
Savage.
Give you a petite mull. All right, play what's going up. Now they have a rock and roll who looks like a deranged rock and roller is up there now. Who is this? I know. I never heard of him. Another one. Play it up, guys. We can't hear it. We have a live feed from Tampa, Florida on the Savage Nation. The guy has a very bad choreography. Terrible movements. Bad stage presence. Oh, they're really going to get excited, the women there in the Republican convention. And some of them are actually getting up out of their chairs now. Oh, look, there's a tambourine man. They got lights flashing. I'm going to get petite mal watching this another minute. I can't look at it. Who orchestrated this? It's almost like a reverse of attracting people to vote for somebody. It's like they made a convention to repel people who were thinking about voting for Republicans. Oh, there they go. Oh, when Republicans start to get down, I don't know what to do. Please, no, turn it off. I can't take it. It's awful. It's just, oh, It's just a kaleidoscope of horror. Mitch McConnell's speech was like a bad filibuster at 3 o'clock in the morning that you would see on C-SPAN. Instead of an inspiring speech to try to bring in the undecided and say, well, he's a great guy, he stands for something, Mitch McConnell, the gobbler, just gave a speech that went on and on and on. People in the audience were seen nodding off. They needed to call the paramedics to revive half the audience in the middle of Mitch McConnell's speech. They were passing out atropine. They were giving him atropine tablets to try and wake people up in the audience. Now they follow him up with this fake long-haired, like, blonde guy? This guy looks like a beach boy who was suddenly found under the boardwalk after 40 years of looking for him. He was missing from Hollywood for 40 years, and they found him under the boardwalk at Santa Monica, and there he is. They gave him a leading slot at the Republican National Convention. Oh, my God, he's doing a hop on the stage with absolutely no grace. It's awful. I can't take this. This is like almost like a Republican congressman who puts on a tight outfit and gets a wig and tries to, like, be a rock and roll singer for the night. Wait a minute. There's a guy, 70, with a hat on playing a conga drum. Hold it. Let me take it back. I think you've got the picture. I think they've destroyed themselves with this convention. I've never seen anything like this in my life, and I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop until you understand that we're in real trouble. Unless the Republicans understand there were elections held in 2010, which was a mandate towards conservatism, don't expect any change when Romney wins in November, and when I hope he does. Expect nothing. Then you won't be disappointed. Because if you're expecting a sea change, when these clowns get elected, you're not going to be very happy come a year from now. You're going to say, you know, I didn't like that Savage back in that late of August 2012 when he was so cruel to those nice Republican men and women. A year from now, you're going to say, Savage, I should have listened to you. The end of the day, though, what choice do we have? Tell me what choice we have. We've come so far down in our expectations that we'd accept a milquetoast like Mitt Romney for a candidate. It's unbelievable to me. He's worse than McCain, incidentally. I got to tell you, McCain was bad, but at least McCain had a story attached to him. The war thing, you know, older guy. He was way ahead in the polls by 8 points. He could have won. He threw it. McCain threw the election. We know that. He was a fall guy. I'm sorry to tell you, I see the same thing happening. I think the fix is in. Maybe that's why Romney's sitting there saying, how many more weeks is it till I'm... I mean, something's wrong here. Boys and girls, I'm so saddened watching this. I don't have any words for it. You know, when I get sarcastic or cynical on this show, it's because I have no other place to go. I've always used sarcasm and cynicism in my life as my own personal salvation. I've never seen anything as bad as this in my entire life. Everything's at stake, and these people have destroyed their chances as far as I can tell. Tell me if you agree or disagree. West Virginia, Dina, go ahead. Do you think that I'm wrong here?
Thank you. I don't know what ball game that the conservatives were watching last night. This morning, when I heard the comments, was out of the park, out of the park, out of the park. I did not see that. As far as I'm concerned, the score was tied. We had the...
Wait. Let me see if I find, who said that this convention was out of the park? Who said Bill Bennett? Yeah, right. A real inspiring speaker, Bill Bennett. Another lifetime Republican hack. Who else said out of the park?
That was the general synopsis on Fox and Friends. But then,
they're expected to say that they got Murdoch in a bind, so Murdoch's minions have to support anything Republicans do.
Lisa, I couldn't hear it all day because I do work. I'm 64 and I work.
So yeah, don't you want more than what you're getting is what I'm asking you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I felt like Christie had the opportunity to...
Yes, and he said nothing. All he did was make the sound and the fury of Chris Christie with nothing said. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. Everyone who gets on the show gets a free copy of the one book we need to save America.
Savage.
Let me put it in another way to you, since many of you don't understand why I am so upset with the Republicans for this horrendous, lethargic, generic convention. It's like going to a movie. If you went to a movie that was bad and you fell asleep during the movie, or you yawned, or it was just awful, the script was bad, the actors were bad. Let's say that was what was going on, right? What would you do? You wouldn't tell your friends to go see the movie, right? A convention is a chance to produce a movie, as it were, that people talk about. What you had here is not entertaining. It's lethargic. It's generic. It is filled with wooden speakers, one after the other. It's filled with a hackneyed high school grade script, tin-eared dialogue. I've never seen anything like this. And that's why I'm upset, because this is supposed to galvanize uncommitted voters. I don't understand how this could have happened. Or shall I say, I do understand how this has happened. If you take a group who's led by a campaign manager who apparently voted for Obama in 2008, who I've suspected from the beginning has been undermining Mitt Romney. I suspected they did this on purpose in order to destroy the chances for the Republicans to take this country back. There were no conservative speakers. Right now you have Rand Paul doing a fairly good job, but this does not happen nearly often enough today. Not one mention of the issues that we're really facing in this country. And that's why I'm very upset, to be honest with you. New York WOR, Andy, how do you feel about the RNC's convention thus far?
Well, I feel not one issue was spoken about last night in that whole thing. I also want to know how does Ann Romney qualify as a speaker at the Republican National Convention?
Is it
ironic that the Republican candidate for president had his own Obamacare? I think big money runs it all. It's a shame.
Well, that's what worries all of us.
It's a disgrace.
What worries all of us is that the Republicans are going to do nothing about the millions of illegal aliens who have destroyed our schools and hospitals, in plain English. Let's start with the number one issue that even Democrats feel needs to be addressed, and that's the illegal aliens overrunning the social landscape. Why are they not talking about it? One answer. They're afraid of alienating the illegal alien who isn't even allowed to vote.
I saw a good point on the internet. You know, my dad was in World War II, and he certainly didn't fight for socialism. That's what I can tell you. It's a shame. Real shame.
It's a shame. So at the end of the day, who are you going to vote for come November?
I tell you what, it's the worst of the two lots. I'm not sure. I had a chance. I voted for Perot twice for the same reasons. I couldn't vote for either one. But we don't have a third choice right now.
There you go. That's very interesting. No, we don't have a third choice. It would be a vote for Obama. And they know that. These cynical Republicans know that. But I'm terrified that the very same grifters who destroyed us under Bush are going to do it again if Romney wins. Remember, violent this time.
I do not feel represented.
No, I mean, I'm a man who speaks very bluntly, like out of a movie. I jump right through the microphone as I'm speaking to people, but I don't know how else to put it.
I agree.
You know, maybe I tell you what my problem is I watch too many movies. I admit it. Maybe I watch too many movies. Maybe I watch too many gangster movies. Maybe I watch mobsters too often. Why am I attracted to such things as the show on A&E? I think it's A&E Mobsters. You know why? You want me to tell you why? As horrible as those men were, at least they spoke, I don't know, let's say that they spoke what they believed. In a world where there's nothing but drivel, I'll even take evil speaking honestly. Let's put it that way. I don't know how else to put it. I've never seen anything like this. I feel like I'm drifting. I feel like I've been cut adrift from my own country. I feel like I'm floating out in the middle of a bay and someone cut the lifeline to the country. I'm in a life preserver, but I'm drifting away. Where is my country? Where did it go? One group of grifters wanting to replace another group like we don't know who they are. We know who they are. Remember Jack Abramoff? Does anyone remember Jack Abramoff, who is now a reformed man? Does anyone know what Jack Abramoff said after he came out of federal prison about the K Street gang that wants to take the country back? Does anyone remember them? So you don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. You say, well, okay, you don't know what to do. What choice do you have? What choice do you really have when you have a man like Obama who's done such damage to the national psyche and the national heart and soul? We only pray. All we're going to do here is hope and pray. A wing and a prayer, by the way, on a very sketchy basis, that Romney and the K Street gang do a slightly better job of protecting America and saving us from this downward spiral than the gang from wherever they're from, because we don't know where they're from. You could say Chicago. I mean, what does that really mean? We don't really know where Obama's bundlers came from. We have no idea where the money came from. It could have come from China for all we know. Did you notice yesterday the communist Chinese attacked Romney? That was quite telling, incidentally. Why do you think the communist Chinese attacked Romney yesterday? Could it be that the Manchurian candidate in the White House is their, you know what I'm saying? Their man in Havana, so to speak, if you read your Graham Greene when you were in high school or college or whatever it was. Is Obama their man in Havana, so to speak? Or is, well, let's be more blunt, is Obama the Manchurian candidate the Chinese put in power? How would we know? How do we know? Nobody knows who really raised the money for Obama. We know that a lot of it came from Hollywood. We know that they were the first up at bat. We know that Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Spielberg and that group in Hollywood were the first to take this unknown senator and run with him, primarily for their own social ends. They put that ahead of the country, as most people do. They all have special interests. But where did all the other hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars come from? Where'd they come from? I don't know. We know that a lot of it came from the Middle East. We know it came from Soros, who bundled a lot of it. So we have Obama as a nightmare on one side, and then we have this clueless bunch of K Street operatives on the other side. Again, I have to go back to something that you must never forget. If you take home anything tonight other than my angst, it's this. In 2010, there were elections, if you remember. Has one speaker referred to the elections of 2010, where one Tea Party after another won? Has one speaker thus far mentioned that Tea Party candidates just knocked Republicans out of the box? No, because they don't want you. They don't want conservatives. They don't want Tea Party activists. They don't want anybody who really believes the country needs a return to basic American values. That's the sad truth. So you have socialism light, and then you have socialism heavy. You take your choice. If you think that Romney and the K Street gang is going to end welfare, you're mistaken. If you think that the grift is going to come to a conclusion, I think you're wrong. If you think there's going to be investigation after investigation of the hundreds of millions of dollars that have been stolen from this country during the Obama regime, you're mistaken. So tell me what you think is going to happen if Romney wins. I'd like to know what you think is going to happen. What's the miracle that's going to happen? I don't know what the miracle is anymore. Yes, I'm going to vote for him, but I don't know what the miracle is. I think they blew it. I think that this is the worst possible outcome of all. A hackneyed, it's dead on arrival, let's put it to you that way. Dead on arrival, lethargic, generic, wooden speakers, cliches, bad score, bad entertainment, no inspiration, not one line that you're going to take home and say, wow, that was something. And before I conclude in this particular segment, again, you're going to say, well, you're very negative. How about being positive? Okay, I'll be positive. Here is my idea. We're going to play my man, the only man I've ever really liked in politics, so I really looked up to. And you know who it is, where he says extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice, moderation in the pursuit of, right? You remember that one? Listen to Barry Goldwater at a convention. Listen.
I would remind you that extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And let me remind you also that moderation in the pursuit of justice is no virtue.
But right after that, I got a big stack of correspondence to sign and go through.
Cut them off. I don't want to hear the mothers. Sorry. I don't want to be reminded of a horrible time in America. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I was enjoying watching during the break the two Bush presidents speaking. That was, I felt good. I remember sleeping at night. I didn't fear the government would kick my door in and arrest me under the NDA, under either Bush. Let's put it to you that way. But now that they're showing the Stepford wife, I could do without it with the maternity blouse on. I'm not ready for it. You know, I have Condoleezza Rice's speech is posted on the Drudge Report. It's astounding. I pray to God she saves the day because it looks great. I'm looking at a speech that has real meat to it. This is amazingly well written because she's an intelligent, she's a high intellectual, great brain, came from Jim Crow, Alabama. Look where she is today. Great woman. Not inspiring per se. You know, here was a little girl who grew up in Jim Crow, Birmingham, the most segregated big city in America. She couldn't even go to a movie theater or a restaurant. And yet, she became the Secretary of State. And so she is a great inspiration for many people in this country. And I can't wait to hear that speech later tonight. I hope to God she turns it around for the Republicans, because I will tell you they need something very quick, really quickly. We have any feeds coming out of Tampa right now that are worth running? Let's hear the Mother Bush. Okay, Mother Bush. Mother Bush.
Dad and I both know what it takes to be president. And there's no doubt in our mind that Mitt Romney will be a great president.
He's a good man.
He's in good shape. Look at that.
And I hope that...
You know, I can't believe... Senior? He's 85 years old. What kind of genes do these people have? I'm jealous, man. I don't know. What was it? The water, the scotch, the soil, the potatoes? What was it? You know, my people didn't have that kind of... I don't want to hear the women, but that old man's amazing. I wish he was president again. I take him at 85. Guy jumped out of an airplane at age 80. Didn't he fight in World War II? Bush Sr., he did, didn't he? He was a fighter pilot. God, those were good days. You know, as moderate as he was, you see them and you listen to them. You don't feel like the country slipped away from you. Where has the country gone? There's too much emphasis on the women. You know, they don't understand this. They're trying for the women vote by showing women. Something's wrong because women don't like women. Basically, women don't like other women. I don't know who's advising them, but I don't think it's men who understand women. Because I understand women better than most of the guys advising the Republicans. Most women don't like other women. That's the first thing you got to know about life. That's number one. And number two, women want a strong man. I didn't say a mean man. I don't say an angry man. I didn't say any of that. They want somebody strong. A Gary Cooper type. Let's put it to you that way. Okay, you know, speak softly, carry a big stick, whatever, however you want to put it, whatever the analogy is. They don't want to hear any more from the wives and the aprons and the laundry. Who's Blondie, the blonde guy singing now? What is this? Is this John McCain's son? Let me hear this. I want to hear this one now.
Are they just written down?
Who is this, Beowulf? I never saw this.
Story.
Bo Davidson? I don't like
when
the haircut.
Like freedom,
I don't like that haircut in 2012. I'm sorry. No, I don't go for the half-long-haired look in 2012. It's like a hybrid male. He runs on AC/DC and battery power. I don't like guys who are hybrid men. Where is this? Who's the guy with the American flags who's a rock and roller? Who doesn't come? Whatever, there's a few of them they could have had. A milquetoast singer they have now. Guy's like a lounge act in a bad hotel in Vegas that they're about to knock down in 2 months. Like, if you went to Vegas and you saw a hotel that was about to be, like, demolished by a dynamite crew in 2 months, they'd have this guy in the lounge. It'd be complete. Guy would be free. You get two drinks to listen to him, actually. They give you two free drinks if you come into the lounge, because there's dust already. They already started to knock out some of the floors. Where are they getting these people from? God save the queen, man. What is going on? Oh, God, Condoleezza Rice, save us, please. Is it over now? Can we get back to the show? I was going to sing one more refrain.
Or have we lost our very faith in faith itself?
Lost our very faith in faith. That's very inspirational.
Or is it madness?
Okay, I can't take this sappy saccharine. I don't know what to do. If there was a conservative party somewhere, sign me up. If you could find a conservative speaker somewhere on the Republican ticket, please. you know, notify me so I can tune in. We've had an election after Obama, 2010. It was a mandate against socialism. Not one Tea Party candidate is at this convention. Not one Tea. Is there a Tea Party presence at this convention? Does anyone know? Is there any member or leader of a Tea Party there? I don't know. Guy looks like a bad parody of John Denver, doesn't he? I mean, that's who he comes down. New York, WR. Mike, go ahead. You're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, as you just said, Michael. Yeah, there are no Tea Party members there. That's why this convention is dull. But the sad truth is the Republicans do not like the Tea Party because I'm involved on a local level, and we have to fight the Republican Party to get our candidates onto any ballot.
So, correct. And in the last two elections, the last two national elections, federal elections, I believe, Tea Party candidates whipped Republicans. Is that correct?
They are with them, but believe me, on the local level, you have to fight and tear to get your candidates in the primary.
Yes, I know that. You're right. You're absolutely right. The Tea Party is the real American heartbeat, and they want nothing to do with it. So, look, there's a lot to complain about. Alaska, Danny, you're on the Savage. Where's Sarah Palin, by the way? You know, where is Sarah Palin? She was a VP candidate. She's not even present there. Dick Cheney, not present there. Rick Perry, not present there. Representative Alan West, the great American, not invited. Governor Jan Brewer, the only woman in the Republican constellation who stood up to Obama on the tarmac, not invited. Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who's fighting for his very life, not invited. Senator Jim Inhofe, John Culberson, Donald Trump, Michael Savage, Rush Limbaugh, Matt Drudge, not invited. Where are they? Who are they appealing to?
Michelle Bachmann's not there either, and it's another reason why, Michael, that I have not turned on my television set. I'm not going to waste my time watching this circus. You know, you got a great turkey call going, Michael, and you need to step it up with a chicken call because the Republicans.
Well, who are you? Let me ask you this. Given that you're joined this on the Republican performance so far, who are you going to vote for in November?
Well, I'm probably going to vote for Romney, but the way they're running this thing, the people aren't going to vote. I think Obama has a great chance of winning because the Republican Party, they stand for nothing.
Thank you. That's the fear. Bingo. They're alienating all conservative voters with this hackneyed, boring convention. They're killing themselves. They're committing hari-kari. I've never, ever in my life could believe they would do this. But I do believe it. I knew this was coming. I knew it was coming. I knew that they didn't invite any of the conservatives. They gave short shrift to everyone who really keeps them in power. They assume that they own you. They're pandering to illegal aliens. They're pandering to, well, why go down the list? Headline, 8 hurt when car crashes into crowd near L.A. school. Driver, 100-year-old man. This just came up on the Drudge Report. 8 hurt when car crashes into crowd near L.A. school. Driver, 100-year-old man. We don't know whether he was going to a... let's pause right there. It's a family show. It's L.A. I don't know where a 100-year-old man goes. We don't have much time. Is it up? There it is. It's on the website. 8 hurt when car crashes into crowd near L.A. school. Driver was a 100-year-old man. My God, that's awful. Don't you think there should be like an age limit on driver's licenses? How about voting? Do you think there should be an age limit on voting? You can't vote till you're 18, right? How about at what age do you lose the ability to vote? That's an interesting, that's a very controversial question, by the way. I think you should lose the right to vote if you're on welfare, incidentally. You agree with me on that? See, if you're collecting public assistance, it's not a crime, but you should lose the right to vote because you're only going to vote for the demagogue who says he's going to give you more welfare. You get your right to vote back when you're self-sufficient. That would be commonsensical, right? How about one speaker saying that? Were they going to lose the homeless vote?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Yeah! We've been watching the Republican National Comedy Show, which is a bad parody of the rich, fat Republican. I cannot believe they are that out of touch with reality. Yes, I'm going to vote for them because it's anybody but the communist Obama, anybody but the criminal regime that we have. But I've never seen anything as poorly organized in my life. No conservative need apply. Who should have spoken at the GOP? Well, Michael Savage, Rush Limbaugh, Rick Perry, Dick Cheney, Representative Alan West, Governor Jan Brewer, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, Senator Jim Inhofe, Representative John Culberson, Donald Trump. All of those of us who have been on the front lines of the conservative movement need not even, well, I don't think we're permitted in Tampa. Here's some of the audio we have for you today on the Savage Nation. Here's my reaction to John Boehner's speech at the RNC. Notice the sound of the dustbuster in the background.
Where at least I know I'm free.
It's going from bad to worse. I got to tell you, I was fixing my dustbuster during the break, and it's running fine now. Clean as a whistle. And I say, get a dustbuster. Fixed it up during John's speech. You hear how much better it sounds after that? I cleaned out the filter. They got a fat guy on the stage now at the RNC. The most unattractive man in the history of the world. He's at least 500 pounds. He looks like one of those shows on medical anomalies that they have to cut a guy out of his apartment with a blowtorch. He's up on the stage now. Looks like the stool is going to break. Why did they pick him? They're supposed to be... An entertainer's supposed to be attractive. They're entertaining. It goes back to the Egyptian, to the campfire. An entertainer entertains. He enraptures you with his poetry, with his art, with his gestures, with his body movements. They get a tubby out of there, out of like medical freakdom. Where'd they get this guy from? It's going from bad to worse. I don't know who put this thing together. Notice there's not been one conservative statement, not one conservative speech. The guy looks like he's going to have an attack on the stage.
God bless the U.S.
Oh, my God. Give me Kate Smith. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I feel more alienated from the political parties than I have ever felt in my life. Here is a little of Sweater Vest's speech at the RNC, Mr. Sweetness and Kindness, Rick Santorum, a man who tore Romney to shreds during the campaign.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know we are stewards of a great inheritance. In November, we have a chance to vote for life and liberty, not dependency. A vote for Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan will put our country back in the hands of leaders who understand what America can, and for the sake of our children, must be to keep the dream alive. Thank you, and God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you.
Does anybody remember how this little twerp treated Romney? Yet he was invited there?
I heard Governor Romney here call me an economic lightweight because I wasn't a Wall Street financier like he was. Do you really believe this country wants to elect a Wall Street financier as the president of the United States?
Here's the problem. The problem is that we have a candidate who's running, who is now seen by the media as the prohibitive favorite, who is the worst possible person in this field to put up on this most fundamental issue of this campaign, and that is Governor Romney. Governor Romney makes a lot of point that he's not for Obamacare. But I really don't find any legitimate reason why he would oppose it. Because the plan that he put together in Massachusetts is, in fact, Obamacare on a state level.
Even Christie's speech was nothing, all sound and fury. I don't know what people are raving about, truthfully.
Our leaders today have decided it's more important to be popular, to say and do what's easy, and say yes rather than to say no, when no is what is required.
Always been the power of our ideas, not our rhetoric, that attracts people to our party. We win when we make it about what needs to be done. We lose when we play along with their game of scaring and dividing.
Together, we will stand up once again for American greatness for our children and grandchildren. God bless you and God bless America.
Here's what's on michaelsavage.com, the one-stop shop you need for all of the conservative information. If you missed my riff on House Speaker Boehner's apparently drunken speech at the RNC, you got to listen to the famous Dustbuster speech. There's John Boehner saying, I can find common ground with the president, lauding Obama and Ted Kennedy. That's the Speaker of the House, the Republican. Unbelievable. What they're boasting about Christie, we don't know. I have no idea why they're talking about him. He said nothing. It was all about him. But look, it's worse on the other side. The DNC party starts next week. It's going to be led by a two-hour Islamic Juma prayer session at the DNC to appeal to the 6 to 8 million Muslims around America. Did you hear this? That's what your Obama is going to do next week. So if you think the Republicans are bad, you're right. But the Democrats are a disaster. You can take that to the bank. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. Wait. Hang on. Before I go, you know, I hate seeing my electric meter spinning around like some crazed hamster wheel. Running the AC is like watching dollar bills fly out of poorly insulated windows. It costs thousands to replace windows, but for a fraction of the cost, you can put gorgeous energy-saving solar shades over your windows from Blinds.com. Blinds.com saves my listeners and me in so many ways. They offer a huge selection of designer blinds, shades, shutters, and drapes at prices lower than Lowe's and Home Depot by posting free online how-to videos that make transforming any room in about 20 minutes very easy and by yourself. Listen, by making measuring so utterly goof-proof that even if you mismeasure, which is next to impossible, they'll remake it for free. Get free color samples, free shipping, no sales tax in most states, plus expert installers if you need one. Save an extra 20% on top brands through July 31st at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, where prices absolutely crush home improvement stores. Don't be blind. Go to Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Did you get it? Blinds.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Move on to something that's not political. Mental disorders linked to older fathers. I that caught my eye because there's a myth that it's older women. In other words, if you're born of an older mother, that would increase your chance of inheriting certain disorders such as schizophrenia or autism. Well, it turns out that a new study from Iceland, I believe, shows that disorders such as autism and schizophrenia are higher in families with fathers who become fathers later in life. They pass on more genetic mutations contributing to such disorders. According to this study that just came out of older fathers pass on more new genetic mutations to offspring. It's a fascinating study published online Wednesday in the journal Nature. Shows that rates of autism and some other disorders are more prevalent in children born of older fathers, sometimes by a factor of two or more. They say, though this has been observed for years from population studies, scientists had not known what lay behind it. Although older mothers are at higher risk for complications such as diabetes during pregnancy and are more likely to have children with chromosomal disorders such as Down syndrome, the study found that practically all of the new mutations detected in children come from the father. And this new research is made possible by recent advances in DNA sequencing technology. This will also help correct an overemphasis on the riskiness of women giving birth at older ages, some researchers said. Forget example. A man at age 30, roughly, at the time he fathered a child, contributed 63 new mutations on average to his offspring. And a man aged 46 contributed 126 mutations, a doubling, the authors calculated. Now, many of the mutations would confer no effect either for good or ill on the children, scientists noted. Right? But the number of genetic alterations is something that is worth looking at. And it's, I'm not going to read you the rest of the study, but it's a fascinating study, and it leads to the question, are you the child of an older father? Are you the child of an older mother? And how did it affect you? So the question is, do old parents run the risk of creating children who have problems at a greater rate than the younger parents? You know, I mean, you can make funny jokes about this, but it's not a funny thing if you're born with a disability as a result of a genetic inheritance. And maybe people ought to stop and think twice before the 50 or 60-year-old marries a 20-year-old, you know, wants to have a child, which he should have had at 25 or 30. I mean, the normal way, biologically, is for people to have babies very young. That is the norm in the world of zoology. The young produce the most viable offspring. It's true whether it's in humans or in animals. The younger you are, the more viable the offspring. The older you are, the less viable the offspring. It's just actually a product of reality, and everybody has sort of known that from the beginning of time. I think many of us have lost our common sense about these things. This doesn't mean that an older man shouldn't get married and have children, but you are increasing the risk of passing on more new genetic mutations to your offspring if you're an older guy, especially if you're with an older woman. And this whole idea of women having babies at 65 is ludicrous. Men having babies when they're 70, 75, everyone brings up, oh, Picasso had a baby when he was 80. Well, how did that work out? What has Picasso's son done lately? I mean, I know that's not the answer, but, you know, why is that held up as the model for the older man? Oh, Picasso had a young model as his wife, and he had a baby at 80. And what? Where's the son today? Unless he's working for Eric Holder in the Department of Justice, I haven't heard about him. I don't know what he's doing, frankly. All right, so let's move on. Another dud. No one cares. Older fathers pass. It interested me. I thought it would interest you. I think everyone's away. Is everyone away? What day is today? It's the end of August. I think everybody's on a boat somewhere in the Mediterranean, or they're in Tampa. My family is leaving me, so I feel a little blue. They're all going on a ship in the Mediterranean. I'm not going. Would you believe that? You say, oh, Mike, you love boats. You should go. I'm not going. You got to be. I'm not. Are you crazy? I'm going to get on a plane and fly to Munich. 13 and a half hours from San Francisco to Munich. Then they got to get off that plane and then get on another plane and fly to Naples to meet the ship. And then what? I mean, I'm not knocking it in directly, but I go crazy on a boat. What do I do? You eat and drink all day long and then get off and walk around and see poor Italians walking in the gutter? Or poor Corsicans, or poor Albans. What do you call a person from Elba? Albans? Elbows? Elbows and Elbets? Is there anyone from Elba or that region in the Mediterranean? How do you define yourself? As an elbow or an Elbet? I don't know. I could watch Nat Geo if I want to see Elba, or the History Channel, where Napoleon lived. But I'm kind of sad because everyone's going to be gone but me. And I mean, I should go. I don't want to go. They're going to go. They're flying to Munich. Then they're flying to Naples. Then they're joining the ship. I'm staying here. Now, look, I boat on weekends. My thing on boating is I go out for a couple hours on the weekend, and I enjoy it enormously. Why? Because, A, I know I'm going to get off the boat in 3 hours, and B, in my own bed that afternoon. I mean, one of my greatest pleasures in life, if I must tell you, is going out on my boat on a Sunday. I'm a Sunday boater. It's a big boat, but I mean, you could go up the coast to Alaska, my boat. It's got three cabins, three heads, a washer and dryer from Sweden, an ice box, a refrigerator, a stove, a microwave, two generators. I never use them. I use one refrigerator for beer and water. I never washed a pair of socks in the dishwasher, in the washer dryer. I never washed a dish in the dishwasher. See, whoever buys my used cars or boats gets something like better than new. Always been true. Only one bathroom has ever been used. I'm not trying to sell you anything. But one of my greatest pleasures is getting on the boat, getting underway. It's always a challenge, taking her out, turning to starboard and heading over the, you know, wherever. And like last weekend, I went to Jack London Square. We docked. That's always fun. You get off. You see the farmer's market. You see the people milling about in Jack London Square. I mean, nothing really to see. And you look for a hamburger, you can't find one. If you want a hamburger in Jack London Square, you have to risk walking through the pimps and hoes to a local hamburger place, which is about two blocks into Oakland. You wouldn't go there if you had an armored personnel carrier. I made the mistake on one trip of going for hamburger. I looked for a Burger King. I wanted a couple of chicken burgers and French fries for me and the dog. They said, no, there's no Burger King here. It's typical Bay Area. Oh, no, we don't have any of those corporate stores. We have a wonderful local hamburger place. It's right down there up that street. Okay, fine. I'll see the local people. Well, there was a pimp berating his hoe, basically threatening to kill her because she wasn't bringing in enough money. He had the 10-gallon hat on or whatever. Poor girl looked, you know, like a junkie. That was very charming. And then hanging around the hamburger stand was equally enlightening in terms of the clientele that was waiting for the fried grease burger. So I don't need to do that again. But the part I was getting to is that the best part of that boat trip is coming home. Because I know I go home, dock the boat, wash the boat, get in the car, drive to my house, and then what do? 4 or 5 o'clock, Teddy and I lay in bed. I go to sleep for an hour. Maybe one of the greatest feelings on earth, because I don't know what it is. You're floating from the boat. You're back on the... He likes to be home. He lays on his back, and he just starts to snore. He knows he's back home in his bed. And, you know, you look through your door, but to go away for 10, 15 days on a boat? I'm not an immigrant. Why would I want to be in a boat for 10 days unless I was an immigrant, you know, making the passage from Europe to America in like 1905? Or let's say I'm working in the Antarctic for NOAA. I want to practice with my hollow point bullets on seals. That's why I need 700,000 hollow point bullets in the National Oceanic and Space, or whatever, NOAA. They need the bullets to practice on seals and whales, even though they're not supposed to kill them. Who are they using the bullets on? That's why I'm not going. So I'm a little blue because they're going and I'm not going. I'm the only one in the family not going. I've reached that point in life. So I don't know what to do. I'm going to be here over the long Labor Day weekend. Then I got to put a barbecue on or there's going to be no barbecue. Boring.
Savage.
Many, many questions about Obama's past, even questions on his own so-called autobiography. Joining us now is Joel Gilbert, the director and writer of the documentary Dreams for My Real Father, which is number one on Amazon in documentaries for the last 2 weeks. Joel Gilbert, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me back on your show.
Well, does it really matter who Obama's father really is? Why does it matter?
It's because Obama sold himself to America as the multicultural ideal. He said he was a man who stood above politics because his father was a goat herder from Kenya, so he could bring people together. And the American public perceived Obama as a nice man with this inspiring family story. But in reality, as I show in my film, Dreams for My Real Father, Obama has a deeply disturbing family background, which he intentionally hid in order to obscure a Marxist political foundation which he got from his real biological father, Frank Marshall Davis, who was a Communist Party USA propagandist and a suspected Soviet agent. And he promoted this false family background of the Kenyan, I call it the Kenyan father fairy tale, in order to hide an agenda. And it's a totally unacceptable manipulation of the electorate. If the public knew that his real father was Frank Marshall Davis, he talked about in his own autobiography, Obama talks about going to Frank's house. These are parental visits from age 9 to 18, and he shows up at Occidental College as a committed revolutionary Marxist. So based on his own accounts, there's no doubt that Frank Marshall Davis, this Communist Party Marxist propagandist, indoctrinated Obama with a Marxist worldview during his formative years.
Your film shows evidence that the Kenyan Obama is not his real father. Well, actually, I covered that in Trickle Down Tyranny.
Well, first of all, we demonstrate all the evidence that Obama's official story of this improbable love between his mother and the Kenyan goat herder student, foreign student, Barack Obama, is not true. He claimed that his family, the loving Obama family, split up when the father went to Harvard when he was 3 years old. It's completely false. The mother had applied for university and attended university in Seattle, Washington, when Obama was only 3 weeks old, while the Kenyan remained in Hawaii. So his story is false. Next, we have actual photos of an intimate relationship between Obama's mother, Ann Dunham, and Frank Marshall Davis from the house where Frank lived. And he then sold these very explicit photos to men's magazines. She modeled for him in the nude. And then we have Obama when he returns from Indonesia at age 9. His mother drops him off and essentially goes back to Indonesia telling the grandfather, I'm going back to Indonesia, but remember the 65-year-old communist pornographer guy that I used to take those dirty photos with, he should really raise Barry while I'm away. So Obama goes to Davis's house regularly from age 9 to 18, and we have all this evidence that shows he was the biological father and became the ideological father, which is even more frightening. So Obama is what we call a red diaper baby. Barack Obama is a red diaper baby, meaning the child of a Communist Party USA member. This is a known phenomenon in the radical left, where the leadership, for example, of the SDS and the Weather Underground Marxist terrorist organization were all children of Communist Party USA members. By the way, David Axelrod, his mother was a red journalist in New York, just like Obama's father was a communist journalist. So Axelrod is also a red diaper baby.
What did you say to the reporters at the press club a few weeks ago?
Well, I talked about the journalist creed. The journalist creed is a code of ethics for the profession of journalism. It's like the Hippocratic Oath that doctors have. So I said that if doctors decided to ignore the Hippocratic Oath, we'd all get sick. In this case, because the American journalists refused to cover Obama's background and are covering up this false narrative, I believe America is becoming infected with Marxism. Because the journalists refused to cover Obama's past, Obama was able to bamboozle middle-class America with this laughable illusion that he was the son of a goat herder who stood above politics. He got away with these silly, meaningless slogans like hope and change and yes, we can. And no one even thought even to look into what he was really saying. So I told them journalists are public trustees, that suppression of the news is indefensible, and that the journalist creed requires them to be unbiased and unafraid. So I accused all the major American television networks, cable news networks, Washington Post, New York Times, of gross violations of the journalist creed. Americans look to journalists and television news, print news media, to get the truth. And if the mainstream and beyond media fails in that effort to provide information, the entire country suffers greatly, and we're suffering from a president of the United States that was elected on a false background and has an agenda irreconcilable with American values. Anyone can see the full film. It's in my all the evidence is in my DVD. It's available at my website, obamasrealfather.com, and also on Amazon.
You're at the Republican convention now. How has the movie been received there?
Well, we've been screening the film three or four times a day, and a lot of people heard of the film but didn't really quite understand the whole concept, how it all came together. So I've been sitting in the audiences, even though I've seen the film, obviously, many, many times, and the reactions are just, people are astonished and amazed, and they just can't believe that this has not come out before in the public. And part of it is because Obama went to a great extent to misdirect everybody, the Kenyan goat herder, the father from Kenya, the inspiring family story, and everybody bought into it. So psychologically, it has quite an astonishing impact to see that when people realize this was all a farce. So I've been doing a question and answer period, like a panel after every screening, and the people are saying, you know, how can we get this out? How can we get more people to see it? And I just say, tell all your friends to go to obamasrealfather.com.
But what are the reactions like in the rest of the country?
I get lots of emails, maybe 50, 100 a day. And typically, this is from people who have seen the movie, and they are just outraged that they never heard of this before, that somehow the mainstream media is not covering this film. And it seems to me the feedback I get from the media, they tell me, listen, if somebody else covers this, we'll cover them covering it, but we're afraid to be the first. I think for them to take this as a scoop, it's going to be an admission that they didn't do their job. They failed for 4 or 5 years to even send a reporter to Hawaii to figure out whether Obama's story of his early childhood and how he grew up and who raised him is false. They never even bothered to check it out. I've been to Hawaii twice. I've met with retired Honolulu Police Department detectives. I've had access to files. I've met with Frank Marshall Davis's friends, Obama's friends, and a very easy, clear picture emerged that the Kenyan goat herder was a sham marriage at the time to cover up this illicit affair. And then Obama later used it in his political career, the Kenyan goat herding father, to obscure his connection to Frank Marshall Davis. So Obama has a very deeply disturbing family background, and if the public knew, they would realize how this affected his politics and his agenda for America.
How is Obama's campaign different this time around?
Well, what's different is he was being very general and vague about hope and change, and everybody just kind of read into it what they wanted. No one really knew what change meant from the socialist point of view. Change is a code word for a revolution to end capitalism. Now his Marxist ideology is just coming through loud and clear. His entire campaign is based on, you know, the top 1%, the breathtaking greed of a few. He talks about how the rich don't pay their fair share. Well, anybody can just Google it and see that the top income brackets do pay up to 40% of income, and it kind of goes down from there. So his entire campaign is based on this lie, this absurd notion that we don't have a fair tax system. But this is the classic Marxist rhetoric that Obama would have gotten during this indoctrination from his real father, Frank Marshall Davis, who was trained in the 1930s in communism in Chicago, that there's an evil straw man who's keeping the proletariat down, and therefore you must vote or support Obama because some evil straw man is keeping them from being successful or improving their station in life. This is classic Marxism. So Obama's new line is, of course, now he says he wants to help middle-class families, helping middle-class families. In reality, socialist economies don't have a middle class. They have one big lower class with a handful of political elites who control the wealth. So in reality, Obama's agenda is a war against the middle class meant to eliminate the middle class. For Obama and his comrades, the middle class are just pawns. They cling to their guns and religion. That's why for them, national health care is simply a socialist tool to eliminate the middle and upper classes. So for Obama, poor quality, long waits, and high taxes in this national health care doesn't matter. It's just a socialist tool. For Obama in the next term, the middle class's health care is going to be given away to poor and illegals. Middle class's employers are going to be taxed and regulated out of business. And the middle class retirement will evaporate into a bankrupt socialist state. And Obama will achieve what he wants, which is to make America irreversibly socialist without anybody ever realizing how it happened. So I say to everybody, to understand Obama's plans for America, look no further than a communist Frank Marshall Davis, Obama's real biological and ideological father.
Where can we read more?
Yeah, please, everyone, go to obamasrealfather.com. You can see the trailer. There's lots of breaking news updates, as well as ordering the DVD. obamasrealfather.com.
Joel Gilbert, thanks again for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks so much for having me. I look forward to talking to you again.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
I make so many mistakes with parties. I'm one of these guys, it's like I do them, and then I'm sorry I did it the minute that I plan them for 10 days. Everything's perfect. Then the day of the party, I wish I didn't. I want to leave the minute it starts. Are you like that? It's like everything's there. The burgers are sizzling, the beer, and then I don't want to be there. The only like barbecues I really want to be at are in the movies. Usually cop barbecues you ever see those cop barbecues? Don't they look great? Or the mafia barbecues in the backyards of like New Jersey? They're always like, oh wow, I wish I could be there. You know, eat that long sausage and the whatever, and the kids are running around, and there's the guy sitting in the beach chair. They don't happen. It's all fantasy. It's all created by red diaper doper babies from Brooklyn who are living in Los Angeles and giving us Obama. Nobody does that except Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spielberg. They create that for you, so you think you're not at the barbecue. No one does that. There are no such things. Although tonight there's a Republican barbecue near where I live. I'm not going. Imagine, you want to see how bad this has gotten? They send me an email inviting me to the opening of a new Republican headquarters in California, which unto itself is like an endangered species. The government ought to give them money here in California. Do you know what they are serving in the year 2012? I couldn't believe it. Roast beef sandwiches. Roast beef sandwiches they're serving. They say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, it's not 1912 when people ate that way and died at age 47. Can they possibly have a meal that looks a little more inclusive than meat and potatoes? See, so nothing's working for me right now, which is, in a way, it's okay. I feel good that nothing's working because it confirms what I know about life already, which is that nothing works. Every year it's the same thing, year in and year out. Late August, people go away. People don't want to think about politics. And yet here we're going to be inflicted with conventions now. Who cares with the balloons and the flags? I get on with it already. Let us vote. Why couldn't we have voted last spring and this would all be over by now? What is this? What kind of childish nation do I live in that so much money is spent over such small people? These are so less than ordinary men, it's beyond belief. I mean, if they were super alpha men who had invented something or done something, and it was a choice between one titan and another, one intellectual giant or another, I go, there's nothing here. It's one Lilliputian versus another. So, but it's like one man's opinion. I don't know, man. I'm the only one who thinks this. Sacramento John, you're calling on an earlier topic. I claim that there are no real cop barbecues or mafia barbecues. They're only created. You actually say there are such things.
Oh, there are such things, Michael, and I attended one last year. I live in San Leandro. I cooked spaghetti sauce for a friend of mine that owns a restaurant. This guy came from the East Coast, and it tastes just like his grandmother. Who's the cook? He wanted to introduce himself to me. It's just like something out of The Sopranos.
What do you serve at such a barbecue? What do you serve? I'm not going to ask any more than that. What kind of food is served at such a gathering?
He said, if you're ever back here, call me. I called him. I go to Mahwah, New Jersey. He's having a barbecue. He says, come over and cook some. They call it gravy.
Yeah. They call sauce gravy. Why did the old-time Italians call sauce gravy? I never understand that.
I have no idea. We call it sauce. They call it gravy. And he wanted me to make his grandmother's sauce. I did the onions, the sausage. I did the whole thing. But they do have pasta. They do have raviolis. He had my sauce, which he loved. And they do sit around in their little groups with their pinky rings on and their necklaces, and they have a lot of sausages, which half of them make them the plate, half of them come over and grab one. They have pasta, they have French bread, they have wine.
Wait, John, hold on. You're making my mouth water. That sounds like real food. You're a restaurant owner?
No. I used to cook, and my friends went on to, I went into another thing in the grocery business, but my friends went on to be cooks and chefs.
Wait, you said they went on to be cooks and crooks, right?
Restaurants.
You lost me. You started by saying this is a barbecue where gangsters go. So you would say that your friends became cooks and crooks?
They were having the barbecue, and he wanted me to cook my sauce that he really liked. It reminded him of his grandma.
Wait a minute. Now you're pulling my leg. Hold on. Why would you be there if you're not in the same business?
I was a friend. He's with me. So I went in there.
Are they allowed to bring civilians along?
Of course. Yeah. There were other people there. They're not all... they say he's a friend of mine. If you're with them, he says I'm a friend of ours. It's just like the movies. I'm a friend of his. So they knew I wasn't one of them, and they knew who he was. He said, he's with me. He's here to cook my grandma's gravy. I cooked her
gravy. So you didn't get called into the inner circle for the business talk. You were there to just be a friend of a friend. That's all.
I was a friend of a friend, and he took care of me. Shoved a couple hundreds in my pocket, and I'll never forget it. It was a crack up, and it's just like...
It must have been a lot of fun, but I mean, what kind of sausages do they eat?
They like Italian sausage. I did the New York style hot, and I did the New York style Italian sausage.
But I mean, what, you buy over the counter, or you made them?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, back there, Michael, they have, you know, you and I go to the store, and we buy New York style deli. Back there, you go to the deli. He says, what do you need? And I gave him a list of what I needed. I told him mushrooms, Italian sausage, hot Italian. I seared them up, put them in the sauce.
There's no comparison between the sausage in New York City and anywhere else. Never. I'm talking about if you want Italian sausage, you can't find it in the Bay Area of San Francisco. It's just not here. People eat like tofu sausage here or chicken apple sausage. It's not the same thing.
They have good sausage back there, I'll tell you that.
Well, look, they have high incidence of colorectal cancer as well and diabetes. I mean, the guys are not that healthy from eating it, but if you really love food, there's nothing tastier than bad food.
I don't know how
to put it. There is nothing tastier than bad food. That's about the closest thing I can come to truth today about food.
the worse it is for you, the better it tastes. I mean, I myself eat chicken, apple, sausage. I eat like, you know, I'm a health food eater type. I have been for 50 years, which is why I'm still kicking. I've been taking mega doses of vitamin C since I'm 28 years old. I've been taking mega doses of vitamin E, according to the Shute brothers, for 35 years. I've been taking massive doses of B vitamins, and I eat... If I go to my favorite Italian restaurant or my favorite Basque restaurant, you know what they put on the table for me without my asking? They put minced garlic, chopped garlic in oil, and minced onions before I even start the meal. And so when I get the soup, I put the onions in the soup and I make a gazpacho out of it. Now, I got to tell you, you know and I both know that massive amounts of garlic and onions are phenomenally good for your body. But most people can't tolerate it, and they don't eat it. It tastes like you're burning yourself. It's sort of like a Roto-Rooter for toxins in your body. You take a spoonful of minced garlic in oil, okay, and put it on a nice piece of Italian bread before a meal. I know it sounds crazy, right? And you eat that with a little bit of wine before you start eating. You know what you're doing? It's like spraying Raid inside your guts for every microorganism that doesn't belong there.
Savage.